Our text this morning as we come to the table of our Lord is Isaiah 55, the first two verses. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 and 2. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Beloved in our Lord Jesus, Isaiah lived in a time of material prosperity. There was peace, there was plenty. But it was also a time of great spiritual poverty. Oh, they worshipped with their mouths, they praised God while their hearts were far from Him. And Israel's sins would cause them to be sent into captivity in Babylon. They were guilty at this particular time of wanting that material prosperity and giving themselves for that material prosperity. And they would be guilty of that, in danger of that, also down in Babylon. When you will remember that many did not want to go back to the promised land, but they wanted to stay in Babylon because their lives were good. They would lust after Babylon's plenty. And the call comes here in God's Word to turn to their God, to turn to their God and ask Him for His precious Word and grace so that they might live. Only if we feed on God and on His Word shall we live. God calls us to the fountain of living waters. Hear that call this morning. He says, come. That was not only the call for God's people long ago, that is the call to the church today. Come. Jesus says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. So that's our theme, come to the waters. Notice with me in our text, the thirst. Notice, and second of all, the waters. And then notice, thirdly, the price. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. Are you thirsty? Do we really know what it is daily in our lives to be thirsty, to long for a drink of water? You and I can go to our faucets anytime we want, or perhaps to our refrigerators and pop a soda. To be very, very thirsty. To understand this concept, one has to understand the land of Judea. Much of it a wilderness, great heats in that wilderness. And one could not walk very far without feeling the effect and needing that water bottle. As the psalmist says, is a heart about to falter. Well, Israel would be led through that wilderness and further through the deserts when they would be led into captivity. It would be a hard march. And they would be, because of the ruggedness of the country and the heat that time of year, it would be of a difficult pilgrimage. sort of like what has been known in history as the Bataan Death March. To refresh your memory, the same time that Japan attacked Pearl Harbor, they also attacked the Philippines. And for 4 months there, they followed up the airstrike with an invasion. And the troops, Filipinos and Americans, were secluded on the Bataan Peninsula. And finally, with hardly anything to eat at all, greatly weakened, the commander surrenders. It was in April of 42. The Japanese took those weakened people in the height, the greatest degree of temperature that the Philippines knows, often over 100, made them walk some 63 miles. Not giving them any water at all to drink, very little food. And of the 72,000 prisoners, over 14,000 perished. They died on the way. Great thirst. Throats parched. Lips cracked. The cry comes to Israel there. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. He who has no money, come buy. Let me ask this question of you and me as we've come to the preaching of the word and as you come to the table. Is that you? Are you thirsty? Can you say, give me to drink or I die? Who is this passage speaking to? We read here, ho, everyone that thirsteth. And many churches, many make of this passage, everyone, head for head, they say, everyone is thirsty for God and thirsty for life. They might not realize it, they're thirsty. That's not the case, is it? Oh, everyone is thirsty, if you want to use that word. They are thirsty for things. They're thirsty for the things of this world. They're thirsty for sin and uncleanness. They give themselves, they spend their money and their labor for those things. But our text is speaking here about a thirst for God, a thirst for His Word, a thirst that is created by God in His people, a thirst for the waters of life. So our text is speaking about a special people, a peculiar people here. They are the ones that are called by God. They are the ones who are made thirsty by God because of His great love for them. The elect. We are made thirsty by the love of God for us. We are made thirsty by the operation of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We are made thirsty because Christ causes us to taste of Him and we recognize that nothing else will satisfy. Do you know that, O child of God? Nothing else will satisfy. Not all the money in this world, not all the nice clothes or nice houses or cars will take care of the need that we have. The thirst that we have. Christ alone. And so we have in our passage a call of God. God's people have learned to know that they must have the living God in His communion. As the psalmist says, and we just sang it, thirst after God. A thirst to see God. A thirst to have communion with God. And in our text, the Lord has before you and me a call then to appropriate all those benefits that flow to us from the cross of Jesus Christ. Appropriate these things by faith. Don't go just through the motions of coming to church. Don't go through the motions of coming to the table. But come with that thirsting. Come with that faith. So that the blessings of forgiveness of sins, the blessings of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, the blessing of eternal life is ours. Notice with me in the passage that it is a call to those who are thirsty, and it is a call to those who are poor. They have no money. Do you know your need? A dire need? Give me your Christ or I die. Give me His righteousness or I perish. And do you know your extreme poverty? You have no money. Notice the seriousness of this call. Isaiah says, pay attention. That's what God's Word is saying to you and me to this morning. Pay attention. You who are thirsty, you who have a great need, a longing, ho, every one of you who are poor, you have nothing in your hands to bring. Pay attention. Come to the waters. This is a call that goes out in the promiscuous preaching of the gospel. Wherever God causes His word to be purely preached. But this is a call that not merely goes out through the promiscuous preaching, but this is a call that is coming effectually, powerfully in your and my hearts through the Holy Spirit. He gives you no rest. You can look nowhere else. Come to the waters. Well, then we have to ask, second of all, what is this waters that we are to come to? Come by faith. In Isaiah 44, verse 3, those waters are the Holy Spirit and all of His blessings. In Psalm 42, it is to appear before God and to see His face. In John 7, 37 through 39, it is the receiving of the Spirit of Christ. Those are the waters. The Spirit of Christ bringing the benefits of Christ Jesus. Or our call to worship this morning, Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And it is especially that righteousness that is in mind here in Isaiah 55, verse 1. For God has come to His people earlier in that chapter. In verse 14, Isaiah 54, verse 14, we read, in righteousness shalt thou be established. In righteousness thou shalt stand and live. And the end of Isaiah 54, the end of verse 17, their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. It's not something you and I can do, produce. No, it's the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus that is freely granted to us and appropriated by us by faith. You say, now which one of these is it? Is it the Holy Spirit and His blessings? Is it to see God and to know Him? Is it righteousness? Well, notice how really these passages all blend together, don't they? The water of the fountain of life is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's righteousness we desperately need, we who are so poor, so sinful. In our examination this past week, ought to have shown us that. And if you did not come this morning as one who is sinful, then you did not do the proper examination. The Lord didn't come for the righteous. He came for sinners. The water of the fountain of life is that righteousness that God provides in Christ Jesus, freely gives us. And that righteousness is ours by faith. Faith that is worked, faith that is strengthened in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. To have that faith, to have that righteousness is the blessing of the Lord. That is the water of life. That's the water for which we thirst. That is the water that we must drink continuously. Come to the waters. But the prophet of God is not satisfied with just calling them waters. He's going to enlarge on the wonderful waters, this wonderful fountain that we drink from. And so he uses four different figures in these two verses. Figures that refer to human life, yet point beyond themselves to spiritual realities. In our human life, we have water to drink. We have bread and milk to eat and drink. And we have wine that we may also make a veil of. Water pictures that which is absolutely necessary to live. Water refreshes us. A person can go a long time without any food, but they cannot go very long without any water. On that Bataan death march, the Japanese, because they despised anyone that surrendered, refused water to those prisoners. And they wasted away. They died. Water refreshes. But a diet of water alone would not be sufficient, would it? One needs bread to eat. One needs milk to drink in order to be nourished, to be strengthened. That's why we read spiritually now in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of God's Word, that ye may grow thereby. That's why Jesus comes in John chapter 6 and He says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Bread and milk pictured as nourishing the body. And we need, don't we, the milk of the Word. And we don't only want the milk of the Word, but as we grow and mature, we want the meat of God's Word. We want to be nourished. We want to be strengthened by the means of grace. But now, underneath these waters, the psalmist even throws in wine. Wine, which is a picture of abundance, a picture of prosperity. It's really a picture of luxury. It's a picture of exaltation, isn't it? We read in Psalm 104, verse 15, "And wine that maketh glad the heart of man." Picture there is abundance. Picture there is luxury. Picture there is joy and rejoicing. And now if we take all those figures together, the end of verse 2, "Let your soul delight itself in fatness." That's a picture. I'm not going to look at that concept now. We'll wait till this evening's sermon, which will deal with fatness. But the picture there is not just a scanty little meal, but all that the heart, the soul of man could ever desire or need. Abundance. Come. Come to those waters. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, appropriated to us by faith, faith worked by the Holy Spirit so that we drink of the fountain of life. The blessings of Christ's cross flowing to us. There's not only the positive call here, there's also a warning, isn't it? A warning for those Israelites living when they did, and later on living in Babylon with its pleasures. A warning that comes to you and to me. What is our life all about? God's grace, God's blessings flow to us from God through our Lord Jesus Christ without we perish. The wicked don't want those things. They don't want God. They don't want His Word. They don't want His salvation. They're filled only with the lust of the flesh. But it's not only the wicked that have that lust of the flesh, but you and I who are still in this sinful world and who are sinners, we too often lust after those things, don't we? The wicked might spend their labor and their money on that which cannot satisfy. But you and I might also give ourselves to those things. You were called, I was called this past week to examine what is really important. What are you trusting in? Your own works? Your own material possessions? Does that make you who you are? Or do you trust only in the Lord Jesus Christ and the righteousness that God gives to us through Him? What a warning. We need to constantly be reminded, huh? Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Seek them first. Not as an afterthought, not after getting all the world's goodies. Seek first the kingdom and God will take care of your other needs also. What a warning. What is really important in your life? What are you running after? What are you laboring for? What are you willing to give your money for? Do you remember Esau? He would give whatever he had, in fact, the birthright, for his little bowl of porridge. God's Word comes to you and to me as well as it did to the Israelites, the Old Testament church, and says, "Hearken diligently." Verse 2. hearken diligently, pay attention, eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. The thirst God creates in us, that thirst by faith for the righteousness of God which is in Christ Jesus and all His benefits. Those are the waters that we drink of this morning in the preaching and also in the sacrament. The blessings that come through Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead. And now what's the price? Can you afford it? There might be wonderful dainties out there, but if we can't afford them, what good are they to us? And God's Word says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." What is the price? And the answer is nothing. All the blessings of salvation are absolutely free. We need to see that this morning. When we come to buy, we come without money, we come without price, because we have no money. We need to know our absolute poverty. Oh, that hurts, doesn't it? What poor person likes to receive handouts? It's hard, isn't it? It's hard for every one of us because our stinking pride gets in the way. We want to think that somehow we earned it or somehow we did something to merit what we've got. We don't want to admit that poverty. But we need to be humbled. We need to hear this, buy without money, without price, in order to see the wonderful grace of our God. We come with no money, and then we can buy. And we can freely take of the water of life. Yes, we come this morning. We come to the table of the Lord Jesus and we say, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." Nothing, O child of God, nothing in our hands we bring. We have nothing. But God of His grace abundantly supplies. But careful. Just because it's free doesn't mean it doesn't have any worth. At times you can get some pretty nice free things that are quite valuable. There is a great price involved in this. The water of life is very expensive. The water of life has infinite worth. And here's the gospel. Here's the gospel. Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the price for that righteousness that is of God and is freely given to you and me. He paid with His life. The price is nothing less than the death of our Savior who stood as our substitute and died in our place. Yes, God Himself bought these waters for us with the death of His own Son. And that's what we commemorate at the table of the Lord. Given to us is the righteousness of God, and all of our sins are freely forgiven us, removed. Do you see the great work of God? We sang of it this morning. We love to look at the works of God and to recount those works of the Lord. Well, what is this work of the Lord that we're looking at this morning? First of all, God produced those living waters, those waters that refresh, that nourish, and give us an intoxicating joy. God produced those living waters in His Son, Jesus Christ. And it is God who works in you and me that thirst for those waters. While the mass of humanity has no thirst for God or for the water of life, for His righteousness, by grace you and I are thirsty this morning. And God causes us by faith to continually drink of those waters, appropriating the blessing of salvation, giving to us life. So God's word comes. Come, ye to the waters. Buy wine and milk without money, without price. Eat that which is good. Come to the waters. There the bread nourishes us. The wine is a symbol of our intoxicating joy. Given to us are all the blessings of salvation, life in Jesus Christ. Drinking these waters, we receive a well of water springing up to eternal life. Come to the waters. That we may do that this morning, will you turn with me, please? In the back of your Psalters, to the form, page 91. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus in the same night in which He was betrayed took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of our Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary first rightly to examine ourselves, and then secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ has ordained and instituted the same, namely, to His remembrance. And then last Sunday we read that part of the form that deals with that examination. And so on page 92, second column, the first open paragraph, Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner are we to remember him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God under which we should have perished everlastingly from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessing, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him. And finally, confirmed with his death and the shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, the covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ in his last supper took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner, also after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me, that is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup. You shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished of and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice once offered on the cross as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he is become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head and in us as his members might have true communion with him and be made partakers of all his blessings of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we by the same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of the one bread. For out of many grains one meal is ground and one bread baked. And out of many berries being pressed together one wine floweth and mixeth itself together. So shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be all together one body through brotherly love for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us. And not only show this in word, but also in very deeds towards one another. There to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through His Holy Spirit. Amen. That we may obtain all this. Let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore His grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech Thee that Thou wilt be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily, more and more, with true confidence, give ourselves up to Thy Son, Jesus Christ, and our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Spirit, may be fed and comforted with His true body and blood, yea, with Him, true God and man, not that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but Christ in us and we in Christ, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace. That we may not doubt, but Thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as Thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also Thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations, with uplifted heads, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where He will make our mortal bodies like unto His most glorious body, and take us unto Him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may come to the table of our Lord, let's turn in our Psalters, number 230, or 203, let's see, number 203. Whom have I, Lord, in heaven but Thee, to whom my thoughts aspire, and having Thee on earth is naught that I can yet desire. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 3. Now be fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus. Let us not cleave with our hearts to the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of His heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us. Not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Spirit with Christ's body and blood as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of Him. The bread that we break is a communion of the body of Jesus Christ. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken unto a complete remission of all our sins. The cup of blessing that we bless is a communion of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Take, drink ye all of it. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out unto a complete remission of all our sins. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord has now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise His holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him, who hath not spared His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, and given us all things with Him. Therefore God commendeth therewith His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified in His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled by God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by His life. Therefore shall my mouth and my heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let's give thanksgiving to God with our prayers. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render Thee most humble and hearty thanks that Thou hast of Thine infinite mercy given us Thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal. And that Thou givest us lively faith whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain His Holy Supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech Thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of the Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with Him through Jesus Christ, Thy Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. We give thanks to God this morning that the Lord has permitted Annie Houck to worship with us. Make sure that if you see her pretty soon, that you say hi to Annie. Let's turn in our songbooks to number 115. And we'll sing the first three stanzas. Thou wilt command thy servant's consolation, thy loving kindness shall yet cheer my day. The first three stanzas, and during the singing of this song, the deacons will receive your thank offering, which is for the poor. Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be yours. Amen.